see if I can position this just right. Before I begin, I need prayer. Abba, I thank you for this opportunity to speak before the congregation. Give me a calm spirit and clarity of speech. I pray that this is a message that you wanted me to give. In the name of Yeshua, amen. I was surprised a little bit at the words that were given during our prophetic time. And as Steve gave the Shulchan Adonai, because I have titled my message, When Believers Suffer. And that's all we've been talking about today is suffering. But you'll please notice that I did not say, if believers suffer, or maybe believers will suffer. No, I imagine that at one time or another, we have all undergone some sort of trauma that may be described as suffering. Have you ever said to someone, I just can't take it anymore? And then that person will reply, well, just remember, Hashem won't give you more than you can bear. In the King James translation of 1 Corinthians 10:13, what it says is, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But Hashem is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. Although we speaketh not in this manner with due diligence, yea, we comprehendeth. If I had written a sentence like that in my ninth grade English class, my teacher would have had a field day with the red pencil. Yeah, you know what I mean. So allow me to translate into a more understandable American dialect. In the Greek, the word aao is used, and it is translated in the King James as suffer, which means to allow or permit. In modern English, that whole big King James sentence would read, Hashem will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can stand. It really does not say that you won't suffer pain or risk or loss, but it does say that you won't be tempted beyond what you can bear. And I believe we could probably extend this thought just a little and say that you will go through situations that are more than you can bear alone. And it is especially in those times of suffering that we realize our full dependency on Hashem. I am almost certain that we would all rather focus on salvation, which is more pleasant than suffering. And we would all like to contemplate what it would be like in heaven, which is definitely way more pleasant than heartache. But we all know that suffering can be, and usually is, a real part of everyday life. We know that suffering is real when we go visit a hospital and hear cries of agony. Judy and I have been to Walter Reed Army Medical Center up in Bethesda, and we couldn't help but notice young men in a wheelchair or on crutches missing a leg or an arm or maybe more. And we sometimes find ourselves or those we love in a hospital. So most of you can recall not too long ago when my wife Judy was in the hospital at Port Belvoir. It took numerous visits and a few operations until doctors discovered the real cause of her suffering, which was a bad gallbladder. And it was eventually removed, and now she's just hunky-dory. So, yeah, praise God. So, although Judy was the one that was suffering the physical pain, I was suffering right along with her. There was the mental anguish of knowing that something was wrong, but not knowing what it was. There was the uncertainty as to the outcome. I get particularly anxious when Judy has to undergo an operation or go under the knife. Several years ago, she had some back surgery, and it was a very lengthy operation, I think about eight hours or so. And when it was finished, the doctors came out and said, she almost died on the table. We almost lost her a few times. So, you know, whenever she has to go to the hospital, especially for an operation, that really makes me very anxious. So every time we hear the wail of an ambulance siren, we know that suffering is a real part of life. Now, fortunately, there are many organizations that have suicide prevention counselors who help people deal with their mental anguish or thoughts of taking their lives due to suffering of one kind or another. After a severe earthquake or hurricane or flood, we see the news programs on television that show the property damage and the trials and tribulations that the victims are going through. I remember in the last big hurricane the last big earthquake in Haiti, when it just about destroyed the cities. Not only were the people trapped under the rubble, and some few of them were rescued, but people had to suffer for months and months and months, living out in the field in a tent, you know, maybe with not enough food, not enough water, and you know, not enough medical care. All the suffering. And while physical pain and property loss are certainly devastating, mental suffering is every bit as painful. We read of teenagers who commit suicide because of bullying, or people who cannot cope with financial loss. Probably none of us are here that are old enough to remember 1929, the stock market crash. Men jumped out of windows to their death because of the financial loss. They just couldn't take it. A lot of suffering. We hear of soldiers returning from probably Afghanistan who have post-traumatic stress syndrome. They certainly are in a bad funk. They need help. Thank heavens we have counselors. But even with that, there's still a lot of suffering. But what about us who are believers in Yeshua? Why do we still have to suffer? And when we do, how do we cope with it? As defined in Webster's New Collegiate Dictionary, suffering has many meanings. To submit to or be forced to endure, to undergo or experience pain or distress, to sustain loss or damage, to be subject to disability or handicap. Wow. There's a lot of ways to describe suffering, and that's not all of them. Considering all these meanings, it is certainly not difficult to understand that believers will have trials and suffering. Excuse me. Some believers may have thought that salvation in Yeshua meant no more trials and tribulations. Yet Yeshua told us, "I never promised you a rose garden." No, that's not what he said. He said, in this world, you will have trouble. It is no easy road to get to heaven and to be in Hashem's presence forever. As Yeshua said, and it is noted in Matthew 7, chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, he said, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that lead to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." I think one can safely say that all believers will experience trials, some more than others, but all will have trials because we are sinful people who live in a fallen world. In addition to living in a sinful world, we are part of a fallen race. When Adam sinned, we became part of that fallen race. One constant event that plagues our world is war, but that's our own fault. We don't have to have war. But there are some things that are beyond our control. We also live in a world of tornadoes and hurricanes, droughts and floods, fires, earthquakes, and diseases. Our world is filled with sin that is running rampant, and there is so much greed that can bring on violence. How could a God-fearer, or even an atheist, possibly expect to go throughout life without some suffering? Unless we are like Enoch, who was taken instantly by Hashem, we have to experience some suffering until we start pushing up daisies. It is to be expected. Believers also have trials because of the power of Satan. Ephesians 6, 11 and 12 says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places." Put simply, the believer should stand their ground and not retreat or fall in their struggle of suffering, trials, or tribulations. Listen to what Rav Shaul wrote in Philippians 3:8. "Yes, indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Messiah Yeshua as my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain the Messiah." Considering this, why should we be surprised when we suffer loss or when we are attacked by Satan? The Apostle John tells us that Yeshua was despised and rejected by men. His life was in opposition to sin and to the establishment. If we live our lives as followers of Yeshua, we also will have trials because we too will be on a collision course with this world. Throughout the centuries, believers have suffered, whether it was a physical suffering, suffering through trials, or suffering through temptations. They suffered as we suffer. As I mentioned, the believer will suffer just as much as the non-believer. But the difference for the believer is that he does not have to suffer in vain. In Romans 8:18, Rav Shaul says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy enough to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Suffering is not pleasant, but at least there is a reward for the faithful. The believer can also find joy when he is in jeopardy. Acts 16:25 tells that Shaul and Silas were in a prison singing hymns to the Lord because of their joy. The other prisoners were listening, and I suppose the jailer was too. Then there was such a great earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and all the prisoners' chains were loosened. The jailer was about to take his life, but instead he received eternal life. Matthew 5:11 also tells us that we can rejoice even when we are discredited. "Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake." Here is a case of suffering by slander. However, Yeshua goes on to say in the next verse, "Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they have persecuted the prophets who were before you." Quite often, suffering can be brought by our own actions. Whether one is a believer or not, hypocrisy or engaging in certain habits or practices could bring on suffering, or even turning back from our faith could bring on chastising. We read in Hebrews 12:6-7, "For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? Of course, chastening is defined as to correct or purify by punishment or suffering. I've already mentioned that suffering is all around us in this fallen world, and it's tragic and heartbreaking. Yet, Hashem promises us that He is a loving and merciful God. How can we reconcile these two realities that seem to be in opposition to each other? The key for us is to look for God's mercy, even when it seems it cannot coexist with the suffering we are encountering. In the book, God Can't Sleep, by Palmer Chinchen, we are presented with some good advice. Here are 10 suggestions. Number one, look for God beside you. God promises to be close to us when we feel brokenhearted. Remember that when God came to earth as Yeshua, He experienced what broken human heart felt like, and He endured suffering firsthand in our fallen world. Nothing can ever separate us from God's deep, unconditional love. He cares about us and what we are going through. If you cannot sense His presence with you, pray, asking God to comfort you by making you aware of His Spirit nearby. Number two, realize that some parts of faith only grow in the dark. God uses the darkness of suffering to teach us valuable spiritual lessons that cannot be learned in the light of good times. When you must travel through dark circumstances, be confident that you won't emerge from them the same as you were before. Expect to grow into a stronger person as God's redemptive purposes unfold in your life through suffering. Ask God to show you specific ways in which He wants you to bring good out of your pain. Number three, ask God for the help you need to overcome sin. Face the reality that much of the suffering in our fallen world is caused by human sin. But count on the fact that God is merciful toward sinners. Whenever you recognize a situation in which some of your own sin has contributed to your suffering, pray for help, and God will give you the strength you need to overcome sin. Stop holding on to sinful secrets that have been causing guilt, shame, and bitterness in your soul. Confess your sin specifically, repent of them, accept the forgiveness that God offers you, and embrace the power that God gives you to move forward into a better life. Four, listen for God speaking in silence. When your suffering becomes so painful that you cannot make any sense of it or figure out how to endure it, you may feel as though you are trapped in silence, since nothing that other people say or do to try to help you actually breaks through to you. But when you are at the point where you do not hear anything else, you can actually hear God best, since you are less likely to be distracted by the world's noise around you. In the silence, pour out your thoughts and feelings to God in prayer, and then listen to what He has to say to you. God may not shout, but He might whisper and encourage you to keep drawing closer to Him. Number five, ask God for the faith to move forward, even when you are afraid. It is natural to feel fear when you are going through suffering, but God will give you the faith you need to do whatever it is that you need to do, even while you're suffering with fear. Rather than asking God to take away your fear, you might ask him to give you the faith you need to overcome it. View each crisis you go through as an opportunity to express your faith in God's power to sustain you. Number 6, simplify your life. Sometimes suffering makes you aware of the need to clear clutter out of your schedule and surroundings so that you can experience more of the peace that God wants to give you in all circumstances. Devote more time to your relationship with God. Eliminate activities from your life that do not reflect your highest priorities. And use the free time left from cutting them out to pursue a deeper relationship with God. Number 7, participate in God's plan to end injustice in the world. When the suffering you see around you disturbs you, do something about it, if at all possible. Recognize that all believers have a crucial role to play in God's plan to free people from the suffering caused by injustices such as addiction, oppression, disease, poverty, racism, and debt. Ask God to give you compassion for people who are suffering from injustice. Realize that you and your efforts have tremendous value in God's kingdom, and that God wants to express his mercy for suffering people by working through your life to help them. Pray for the wisdom to know what specific ways God wants you to serve others to help bring more justice to our fallen world, and then take action to do so. Choose to do one small thing at a time instead of becoming overwhelmed by the immensity of the needs surrounding you. Trust that God will use you to touch one person's life, one person at a time, and accomplish something great, even from a small effort. Number 8, do not let suffering keep you from living fully. If suffering has discouraged you to the point where you no longer take risks you sense God calling you to take to live a full life, pray for encouragement. Do not settle for anything less than doing what God leads you to do every day. And do not quit when suffering causes discouragement to creep back into your soul. Instead, keep praying, and you can count on God to keep encouraging you. Number 9, forgive so your suffering won't poison your soul with bitterness. Rely on God's help to forgive the people who have caused you to suffer. That's a hard one to do. Remember back a few years ago, there was a gunman up in the Amish country who went in and kept some students captive. He let some of them go, but then he shot up the rest of them. And the parents of those children actually forgave their killer. It caused a lot of suffering, but they forgave him. They did not let bitterness poison their soul. It's hard to imagine that, but that actually happened. Keep in mind that God will help you every step of the way if you are faithful to respond to his call to forgive others as he has forgiven you for your sins. And number 10, the last one, look forward to heaven. Remind yourself often that God will replace the ugliness of suffering in this fallen world with the beauty of holiness in heaven. Hold on to the real hope that you have in Yeshua of living free of suffering in the eternal kingdom. In conclusion, hope they got the food ready. In conclusion, please ask yourself, am I willing to suffer for Yeshua? Is the suffering I may encounter now worth it for the glory of being with Yeshua forever? If your answer is yes, then you might consider making the necessary life changes to avoid bringing suffering upon yourself and others. Abba, I ask that we can take this message to heart. There is some points in here which apply to us all. We all suffer. We can all help others who are suffering. I pray that the people that heard this message will take it to heart and make it part of their lives. In the name of Yeshua, amen.